Sustain 267.
Welcome to the Sustain 267 podcast, where we look at different issues affecting climate change in Botswana and largely Africa. I'm your host, Batogile Sitse, and today we'll be talking sustainable fashion, which can be defined as a movement and process of fostering change to fashion products and the fashion system towards greater ecological integrity and social justice. Sustainable fashion concerns more than addressing just fashion textiles and products. It comprises of addressing the whole system of fashion. This means dealing with interdependent social, cultural, ecological, and financial systems. Globally, the fashion industry is worth $2.4 trillion and employs over 75 million people. On the downside, it's responsible for 10% of the global carbon footprint. It's in the top five most wasteful industries. It's also the second biggest consumer of water, generating around 20% of the world's water waste and 24% of insecticides and 11% of pesticides. Just looking at the way that we now consume fashion, it's not surprising that studies show that the average consumer buys 60% more pieces of clothing than they did 15 years ago. And I mean, if you just observe your personal shopping patterns and maybe your friends' shopping patterns, if you're not much of a shopper, it'll unfortunately make sense. Not only are we buying more stuff, each item is only kept for half as long. The fashion industry loses about $500 billion of value each year due to the lack of recycling and clothes that are thrown into landfills before they're even sold. Last year, there was a huge case of big brands such as your Louis Vuittons and so forth burning their unsold stock in an effort to maintain value and maintain the exclusivity of the brand. As we have this conversation, maybe think about your fashion consumption and your fashion carbon footprint. How many more clothes are you buying now than you did in 2005 or even in 1995 if you were old enough to buy your own clothes? How long are you keeping those clothes for, even the ones that you bought 5 years ago? How often are you wearing each item for? How many times a month? How many times a year? Have you worn some of the things in your closet before? This week, joining me to talk about sustainable fashion in Botswana is Thuto Sekate, the founder of eco-fashion brand Seatbelt and Open Spaces. Hi, Thuto. Thanks for agreeing to join me. Getting straight into it, Seatbelt and Open Spaces identifies as an eco-fashion brand. Please tell me a little bit more about that.
Hi, Bata. Seatbelt and Open Spaces identifies as an eco-fashion brand because we are essentially a rehash, recycle fashion brand where we make clothes sometimes, not just clothes actually, but also home decor accessories and bags from, say, secondhand clothing, organic material, such as hessian that's made. Some people call it jute. Some people say hessian. I say hessian. It's an organic material. Also cotton. I would use twine in my creative process, and also use natural dyes such as rooibos, avocado peels. So yeah, that's why we identify as an eco-fashion brand. Also, we adhere to fair working conditions. We also skill women that are unemployed. So you could say we're a sustainable fashion brand.
So you have a quite commendable approach to your way of doing business. You said sustainable fashion, yeah? How do you define sustainable fashion? During my research for the show, I realized that there doesn't seem to be one uniform definition of sustainable fashion. So how do you define it?
From my understanding, when I first sparked an interest with this sustainable fashion lifestyle, I always understood that there was something like global warming going on. And from my understanding is when I started fashion, I learned that we had a very toxic process as a fashion industry. So essentially for me, I would say sustainable fashion means a more responsible creative process, being considerate of Mother Nature, and also working in harmony with the environment as opposed to being against it, because we as an industry, as a fashion industry, produce a great amount of waste. I can't give you exact details and like numbers to say, but I know that we have a very high rate of pollution because we're throwing away small pieces of fabric. We are also very inconsiderate in the way we deal with people. For example, I don't know if you know about sweatshops, where a big brand will, from say the States, for example, let me not say particularly the States, but let me just say the fashion industry is notorious for abusing its workers. So you'll get a brand that is quite powerful, employing people that work in a very small, unhealthy environment, working very long hours, where they're even going to the bathroom or excusing themselves in the same room. So they don't leave that station because fashion is so fast in other countries that they're always making great amounts of clothes. And because it's winter, there's a winter collection, and then there's summer, there's a summer collection. And we're always trying to buy, you know, new things. So it's a fast-paced industry. It's reckless in its production, you know. So Mother Nature has suffered, and sustainable fashion basically means that we are making fashion that is long-term. You could still wear your coat 6 years from now, and also while you're going around, you can take clothes that already exist and pair them with your already existing coat that you've had for 5 years. So that's when where the secondhand clothing comes in. So sustainable fashion basically means you're in your lifestyle of being an eco-conscious person. You also consider the fact that where your clothes come from, who made your clothes, are your clothes considerate of Mother Nature? You know, they also require you to be an informed consumer.
Picking up on the point that you made about secondhand clothes, the secondhand clothes market is growing nearly by the day in Botswana. Well, it's stopped now with the COVID-19 restrictions, but it's growing nearly daily. There's a huge market by the BBS mall, and then it's my preferred place to go shopping when I still bought clothes, because I also understood that it's recycling, so at least no more resources are being made to keep me clothed. But then I've always been curious, what does it mean for the local market? Because I was talking to a friend in Ghana who was talking about it crippling their market there, because Ghana has always been very big on making their clothes locally, but with the secondhand clothes that cost a fraction of the traditionally Ghanaian-made fabrics, it's then crippling that industry, and a lot of people's aunts and mothers and sisters are in that industry. So what effect has it had in Botswana, both positive and negative, if there are points on each side?
I would say we have more negativity as opposed to positives in terms of how our fashion industry has been affected by secondhand clothing. When it comes to the direct generation of income from a fashion designer. But I can't say that we are as largely affected as your countries like Ethiopia, Ghana, you know, because one, in Ghana, the fashion is more industrial than ours. We don't have a very industrial fashion industry. We're more, you walk in and you want something custom made and then I make it. So it's like tailors, you know, it's not like a fashion industry. And I personally believe that secondhand clothing would affect mass production more than it would custom made stuff. Because, yeah, sure, secondhand clothing opens up a world of creativity because you're already using something that's there, you style it, you know. But people still love custom clothes. I personally still do. When you come to me, half the time you want something in German print or African print, for example. Here and there you'd want something for a gala. People don't go to buy that kind of stuff at a secondhand clothing, secondhand stand or at BBS. You know, you still have to come to me because you don't find that secondhand clothing is made out of German print and traditional wear. It's mostly European wear or American wear. Sometimes it's from those big factories where it's reject clothes that come this side, which is also a point to make that we have a very high rate of unemployment, as you know, in Botswana. Some people can only afford so much. If they're not getting clothes at the Chinese stores, they're getting stuff at the secondhand stalls. And I personally feel the Chinese are more affected than secondhand clothing in Botswana than an average designer, you know, because unless I'm mass producing, if I'm mass producing, then the clothes that I would mass produce, if they could be found in a secondhand store, you know, maybe that's something else that we could look into. But personally, in terms of mass production, we don't mass produce in Botswana. In terms of economically, I don't think secondhand clothing has affected us that much as fashion designers, you know, as in other countries like your Ghana, your Ethiopia, your Tanzania, your Kenya, you know, because those countries are actually at a point where they've stopped the importation. Personally, I also believe that we need to get to a point where we're not taking stuff from Europe. If we're going to say we're recycling, let's use what we have. If we're upcycling, let's use what we already have in our houses. I try the best that I can. Also, I should mention that, you know, with sustainable fashion, you use what was already there. You know, you try the best that you can to maximize when you're using what you already have. For example, if you have an old pair of pants that you can turn into a bag, you try the best that you can to take the zip and to take everything else and not throw anything away. That's another point about sustainable fashion, is that even when you dispose of your stuff, is it that you can maximize in taking? Like, for example, in my creative process, you will find that I will pick stuffing a pillow that I just handmade or that I just made in-house, you know, your floor cushion. So my stuffing, I also like take old pillows and I use old pillows to start a new project. So the idea behind sustainable fashion is that you use what you already have, what already exists, to the maximum, so that there's nothing that's going to landfills and that we're reducing our carbon footprint. I had to go back there because I felt like I didn't maximize on explaining what I think sustainable fashion is.
Yeah, and on your point of average people can't afford new clothes, I think much less sustainable fashion brands, because what I've noticed with sustainable fashion brands is that they're ridiculously priced. You know, there's all this thing of the cotton is organic, the dye is this, the that is that, and you're looking at a t-shirt that's retailing for about 1,500 bula, which is more than most can afford. Going back to the point that you made of use what you already have, but then also falling into we're competing with the international market. On using what we already have, I've always thought the African way of consuming fashion is the most sustainable way of life. Right from the time when we bought clothes, I mean, a lot of us don't do this anymore, but it's how we grew up. I don't know why we got rid of the practice. But when you get new clothes, you are bought oversized clothes, so you grow into them. And then after you've outgrown them, then they're handed down to your younger sibling. And then after they're handed down to your younger sibling, and then they're now torn and tattered and no one can wear them anymore, they're then repurposed as either a washing rag or a cleaning rag and used to buff the floor. So I've always just thought the African way of fashion is the most sustainable fashion. Yet here we are pulling towards the consumer culture and buying more and consuming more and trying to stay up with the trend while the people who made the trend, being the Western world, mostly the global north, are now trying to minimize and go to the African way of living. Anyway, I just think it's the irony. So how do we then tackle the problem of we're trying to grow the industry, but also sustainably? Should we look into growing it more sustainably? But also, when we're looking into growing it more sustainably, what does that mean in Botswana? Considering that we don't even farm cotton as far as I know and the such, what does that then translate to for a growing industry sustainably in Botswana?
Dude, that is so on point. That is such a valid point. We as Africans have always, just naturally, our lifestyle has always been sustainable. You know, I think we've always been the future, but we never really knew that we were our future. It's like when you have a talent and you don't know what to do with it. You know, now look at us following, like you said, Western culture. And now Western culture is trying to come back to what we do. So, I mean, hand-me-downs, right now, because I live in a village, I can see just what you mean when you say the African way. Our traditional way of life was always sustainable in the first place. We just didn't know how to balance it with a little bit of Western, you know. Right now, I think things like hand-me-downs, when I come to my village, you'll find that you come as well after those clothes, like you say, that were handed down and they don't fit you anymore and they were bought oversized at a point. There's a cousin out there. I have a friend called Wame, whose mom will literally keep everything that Wame has. You know, she was a person of longevity. She just thought, okay, cool, how far can we take this thing, you know? So whether it's a teddy bear, she will keep it aside, whether her daughter had outgrown it. But there's somebody in the village at the farms, go masimu, where we'll need these clothes, shoes, you know. So we are well in the way. But the thing is, do we even understand sustainable fashion? Because there is such a huge, there's a huge potential for us as Botswana, because one, there's a plant called hemp. There's a fabric called hemp, rather, which is a byproduct of the plant cannabis. Is it cannabis? Is it marijuana? I don't know what the term is, the scientific term we use at this particular point. But the plant where you get marijuana, hemp is a byproduct, which comes out so many products. So let alone, we may not be able to plant cotton in Botswana, but we could plant hemp because it can withstand our conditions and we have land on end. Personally, I feel like the potential is quite immense, you know, it's quite large, but we, our lack of forward thinking that we may, first of all, legalize the planting of hemp, you know, so that we can at least get that byproduct of hemp that makes the t-shirts and jeans, and it makes fiber that makes, I mean, you get the fiber that makes fabric from hemp. We haven't even started to explore if we could have any modern ways of farming anything that makes fabrics, and now build our own industry internally that we do not have to import anything. And like, the possibilities are endless for sustainable fashion. Because what we're saying is, what do you have? How far can we take it? What can we do with it? Even in terms of making it trend so that people understand what it is. As fashion designers, door to door, you know, they have waste that they're producing on a daily basis. What do they do with that waste? That is something our government could engage us in as fashion designers, as creatives. What do you do with your waste? Let's put it in one place. Let's see what we can do that could impact our art industry. Because first of all, our creative industry, as you know, is quite delayed. You know, we're still trying to explain that it's possible to be an artist and not be broke. I mean, I studied fashion and it's still almost impossible to find a post that says we're looking for somebody that studied fashion design. So we're all forced into the hand of being either self-employed, or if you know how to do this business on an industrial level where you're making uniforms or whatever, you can go into that market. But you understand just how shallow our industry is in terms of creativity. Tell me that we can plant hemp. And maybe let's talk after that. A tremendous potential, amount of potential there, you know?
I agree with you. I think we might not have the terminology and the phrase sustainable fashion, but we are practicing it. And we need to stop waiting for foreign validation for our ways of life. And then on hemp, yes, we must farm hemp. But just this morning, the Minister of Agriculture was talking about it at the COVID-19 Parliament regulation debate. For a bit of background, for those who will be listening at a later date, we are mid-coronavirus pandemic, and this is day 34. Of what is essentially a lockdown due to the restriction of movements in Botswana. And then back to the conversation of fashion. What do you think COVID-19 will mean for fashion globally, in Africa, but more especially in Botswana? Will it even mean anything? Or once the clothing shops open, we'll be back in business and back to shopping and back in our fast fashion clothes? And what are the opportunities for sustainable fashion? Do you think it will have any impact on how we consume fashion going forward, seeing as we haven't been able to shop for the past, I think, 6 weeks now? Do you think this could be possibly a case for reducing consumption of clothes? Just yesterday morning, actually, I was mending something for my mother. And if it wasn't for COVID-19, she would have probably just gone out and bought a replacement. So is this maybe a case for mending, or are we seeing this now because we also have the time to mend and so forth? But once the restrictions are lifted and shops are open and life is back to somewhat normal, I'm saying normal, also being aware of the fact that there'll be a new normal, because really the old normal didn't work.
In terms of opportunities, right now all I've been making is face masks. So I think as an industry, we could learn a lot of various ways of technology to engineer textiles, for example. We're in an age where we're on technology, And I think there's a great opportunity to see how it is that we can use technology to make our clothes and also, yes, reduce our carbon footprint. Do I think that people are going to become more resourceful? No, I think we are habitual people. You know, maybe here and there, there's people that have built new habits. But it's the same thing as the alcohol thing, where people are not drinking right now or smoking. But, I mean, once the doors are open, there'll be people that would have quit, but there'll be a great number of people that will go back to those habits, you know. So I think sometimes when we're forced into a corner, like you said, you're mending your mom's clothing because you don't have much of a choice. But in terms of convenience, let's be honest, it's okay. It's easy to get somebody else who's an expert at the job, you know. But in terms of resourcefulness, I think we've all kind of dug into ourselves a little bit to see what it is that we could do given the opportunity. I'm making cement, I mean, flower pots right now because that's how much time I have apart from making face masks. As for hemp being farmed in Botswana, that would be impressive. But at the same time, with us as a country, I feel like we're more talk than action, you know? So we could be on this idea for another 10 years when it's something that doesn't even need anything much. It could be something where one person is licensed or a group of people is licensed. And let's see, we give them a piece of land which is government governed, which is governed by the government, rather, and we see how far it can take us in terms of actually building our textile industry. So therein lies our opportunities in the fashion industry, especially with sustainable fashion. I believe as well, as arts and crafts, we are a tourist country. You know, we have tourist attractions in Kasane and Maun, Kalahari as well. And you'll find that you can make recycled crafts. And it doesn't have to be the usual. It could be something really out of the ordinary. But we don't necessarily think that far. We're not educating people. I mean, it should be in syllabuses in schools that we should be reducing our carbon footprint in every aspect. So if you're going to say environmental studies, for example, in this particular case, we need to educate children. You know, they need to know that as you grow up, it's actually getting worse for them. The ozone layer is becoming thinner and thinner. If we're talking about something, it's one thing. Can we just say, let's take a leap of faith and say, let's try as a country to do this and stop waiting on some validation, like you said, that's external. We have the potential to cure our own defects as a country, as an economy. We're still second guessing it and still debating it and still trying to sound politically right when we all know that not everybody's going to be happy with the decision to say, let's legalize for a certain group of people the farming of hemp on an experiment for 5 years. What we could get out of that, we can throw it out of the window if it doesn't work. You know, if there's nothing wrong there, we don't have to wait for another country to do it first. Can we be innovative in our sustainability?
I really agree with you there when it comes to hemp. We have a lot of conversations in Botswana that don't really materialize. Sometimes you just want to try it, fail, and keep moving, learn from it, and move. But it would be really great to see the hemp thing materialize, especially with the knock that all other crops in Botswana are taking with the climate changing. And then the concrete flower pots, that sounds amazing. I've also taken to gardening with all the extra time that I now have on my hands. During this period, I'm using wooden pallets to grow herbs and thinking of increasing my selection because the first batch that I tried is doing so well. On the topic of arts and crafts using different materials, I recently came across a Facebook page where there's a lady making vases, beautiful vases. I'm thinking of getting one for my mother for Mother's Day. And she makes these beautiful vases from newspapers. So this is also giving us, COVID-19 is also giving us an opportunity to give local suppliers and local creatives a try, whereas usually would just do the lazy thing of walking into your standard shop and buying something and walking out with it. I'm hoping to have her on the podcast soon. I think when I get in touch to make that purchase, I'll definitely invite her to the podcast. And then in conclusion, if there's one thing that you'd like someone to take away from the conversation that we've had today, what would it be? If someone listened to the podcast, was maybe in a hurry and they was like, you know what, let me just rush to the end and just pick up on the highlights, what would that one thing be that you'd like someone listening to this podcast to take away?
I think it's very important for us as people to understand that everybody can play a role in this sustainable fashion game, from just how you make your purchases, what you spend your money on. Like, educate yourself on brands, even local brands, you know, hold brands accountable for certain things. Industry, I think as an industry, as a country, we don't even understand the basics of climate change. And so with sustainable fashion, where it's far-fetched to cultivate that into their head before we teach people that sustainability as a whole, what it is, and how we can each play a role in being conscious buyers, conscious consumers, you know, from what we consume in terms of eating. I mean, I'm impressed where you're saying you've started gardening using pellets, you've recycled already, you know, and it's a lifestyle. You understand, living green is a lifestyle, sustainability is a lifestyle. And us as Africans, as Botswana, hela ka Setswana sa rona, I believe we are well in the way of reversing our lifestyles if we understand where we come from and remember that. Now, like right now, because I always mention, I live in Sikwane, but mama Sikwane, they patch their pants, you know, they don't throw away their clothes very easily in the village. There's so much potential in this recycling, upcycling, patchwork. Take all these pieces of the grandma and take these huge companies that have so much money at that disposal, wanting to invest in the community to teach people how to feed themselves using their hands. As a sustainable fashion designer, I know that it's not rocket science to take fabric and cut it into blocks and make sure the blocks are equal and sew a patchwork jersey and invest that into the tourism industry, you know? So I think from this, I'd like people to understand that sustainability is us being creative, forced into being creative, because now we're working in harmony with Mother Nature and not against her, you know?
Thank you so much for that. And then the very last thing, when I get in touch with you and we want to buy some of your products or we want to mint some of our clothes, where can we find you? Maybe if you can drop your social media pages where we can see some of your stuff.
Thank you so much for having me, Bato. I appreciate your reaching out to our brand. Seatbelts and Open Spaces has an Instagram page and a Facebook page. On Facebook, you can find us at Seatbelts and the symbol Open Spaces, all one word, capital S, capital O. Open Spaces is one word. And on Instagram, you can find us on the Seatbelts _and_ Open Spaces. Thank you so, so much.
And that was my conversation with Thuto from Seatbelts and Open Spaces. If you're interested in learning more about sustainable fashion, how you can shop more environmentally consciously, there's a free online course on fashion's future and SDGs. I have added the link in the show description. And recently there was a fashion transparency index released rating the scores of 250 companies. Check it out if you'd like to know which clothing brands are to be trusted more than the others. Although it's mostly international brands on the list, it has some brands that we wear in Botswana too, such as Nike and Adidas and Mr. Price. I know a lot of us shop at Mr. Price, so it might be worth taking a peek where it ranks. I'll also include the link to the Fashion Transparency Index in the episode description. In addition to that, there's a great campaign run by the Global Shapers, which I'm a part of. Shout out Khabrona Hab on sustainable fashion. Check it out. Look up hashtag shaping fashion on your preferred social media site or Google shaping fashion. They had an amazing virtual campaign this year due to COVID-19 that included over 50 events all around the world. They have very practical tips from across the world on sustainable fashion and just how your fashion choices can be more sustainable. I'll be posting new episodes every week exploring climate change and sustainability in Botswana. I was your host, Batekilisitse, and the sound engineer was Maleho Mokhoi. Like our Facebook page, Sustain267, share your thoughts, feedback, any recommendations for maybe topics you'd like to know more on. And yeah, until next week. In the meantime, let's stay safe and follow the rules as per government on how to take care of ourselves and our families.
families during this rather trying and difficult time of COVID-19. Take care. Stay safe.
Sustain 267.